2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Asking who or what is in control has been particularly prominent over the last few weeks. Most commentators are agreed that one of the key ingredients leading to Vote Leave's victory was the attraction to many of their appeal to take back control. Since then, it might be added, the country seems to be more out of control than ever, but of course it's not fair to judge the wisdom of what the nation decided based on a mere 10 days. In a very different field, there are the stories that are becoming more and more frequent about the development of driverless cars, which could be a real godsend to many, although it would mean we've got to get used to a computer rather than a human being in control of the deadly weapon of a fast-moving vehicle. The question of control applies wider than those news stories, of course. In our lives as individuals, the act of becoming a Christian is at its heart about taking, not about taking back control, but in fact the very opposite, of surrendering control, of saying with meaning, Jesus is Lord in our lives. And in our church, as in any organization, it's good to examine what really controls us, what's led to us doing things the way they're currently done, what will influence how we do or don't develop our church's life in the future. Our Bible reading from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians spoke of how, for him and those leading the mission of the early church, the love of Christ was what controlled all that they did. The previous section had spoken about their determination to persuade as many as possible about the truth of the Christian faith. Paul develops this a little later into the idea that he and other believers are ambassadors for Christ, commending the claims of the Lord Jesus as widely as they can to those who don't as yet believe. A number of motivations for this ministry are spelled out. Paul speaks in verse 11 of it being done out of fear and reverence for the Lord. But in the verse we're focusing on this morning, he speaks rather differently. How this ministry is controlled by the love of Christ. Other translations render his words as saying that his role as an ambassador is compelled by Christ's love. For many people, even ordinary human love can make them do extraordinary things. For the love of their baby, a new parent will give up a whole host of freedoms and the prospect of a good night's sleep for many months. Edward VIII gave up being king for the love of the woman he wanted to marry. The Christian believer's longing to bring others to faith is motivated by something even greater, the love of Christ, who died to win our salvation. We know how much difference the assurance of his love has made in our lives, and we long to do what we can that others might know that same love. And as well as something that should be driving our lives as individual believers, every single church should in the same way be controlled by the love of Christ. That's certainly our intention here. Our long-standing mission statement puts it like this: as the church in the Westlands, we're committed in the power of the Holy Spirit that our worship, service and witness will demonstrate to everyone the love of Christ. It appears on every week's notice sheet, and the church council re-endorsed it a few months ago. It can, though, be very easy for churches to slip into a mindset where their main purpose seems to be rather different. Perhaps the maintenance of a particular tradition of worship seems an end in itself. Keeping those who are already members reasonably happy. Even just staying financially solvent can take a priority in some churches some of the time. Our concern, though, is far bigger than that. We are a component of the Lord's plan to win the world for himself, to spread the good news of his salvation, to broadcast the love of Christ by our worship, our service, and our witness. Just to say that we're continuing in that overarching mission is just the beginning, though. As with any church, we need to decide what our priorities and what our plans are going to be for now. How are we going to fulfill that mission in the next few years? And that's the purpose of the little yellow leaflet you've been given, giving our church's mission action plan for the next couple of years. I know there are some people who think planning is unspiritual, but Jesus in our gospel reading gave an example saying, or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other party is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Now, Jesus used that illustration primarily to show how each individual should give careful thought to the matter of following him before deciding to do it. But that careful thought is surely necessary in church life too. The church council took up a significant chunk of three of its meetings earlier in the year to decide, well, this plan after the initial mission statement in section 2, vision, we decided several broad areas that we wanted to focus on for the next couple of years. The first of which, growing as a church which is sharing our faith. And the inside of the leaflet then develops that into two specific action points in that first section. First of all, offering training courses to encourage church members to be better equipped at that task of speaking to others about the Lord. A few are brilliant already, but maybe others might be helped to grow in confidence. Then a second point under that same main heading, setting up a group to plan special events and also to review the offer of introductory courses. In terms of special events, we won't be able to offer something as high profile as Riding Lights every month, but we're hoping that every few months there might be something a bit different, a bit special, that church members might consider inviting a guest to, and at which there might be some kind of taster of the good news of Jesus, or perhaps a testimony, perhaps at some events, a fuller explanation by a speaker who's particularly good at connecting with those who aren't involved in church life to proclaim the love of Christ for all. The next area for focus that the PCC agreed on was in regard to meeting social need in our area. Though we're far from perfect, the love of Christ, I believe, is shown in the way church members live quite a bit, in the support and care church members show for one another at difficult times, and the other people they know as well. There's good work, too, in what our church offers formally to some groups of people in need. But we thought it'd be timely to work on this a bit. The first of the specific points, finding a ministry to replace the luncheon club, and that's already underway in the form of the afternoon tea club. And then a little group's been set up to offer some thoughts to the PCC about what else we might do. Up and down the country, churches are involved in a huge variety of projects. There's no shortage of ideas, of possibilities. The key will be finding something which fits with the gifts of the church people who might serve and also meets a real need locally and so helps us to demonstrate the love of Christ. The next heading, reaching new generations, which is the particular phraseology that's often used these days in Church of England and Lichfield Diocese for work with younger people. Nothing particularly new in that, but we wanted to stress the priority in the coming years of continuing in that as a church. That means supporting and partnering our youth and children's outreach worker to enable further development of Johnny's ministry. Because a youth worker, however gifted, isn't able to do much as an individual. There are the expectations of child protection policies, which mean that they can't run an event on their own. and they need others to be working with them. I think we're doing reasonably well in finding volunteers to work alongside Johnny. The Glow team has gained a couple of helpers recently, and Blaze, which didn't exist last year, has a good few on the team. On a similar note of young people's work more broadly, a couple of people now help with the Christian Club for 5 to 7s that we run at Langdale School, Stepping Stones. We do need to keep going, though, with supporting and partnering our youth worker. And alongside that, we've also put continuing development of Messy Church. It's great to have Leslie with us, and he's going to be working alongside the existing leadership team. We had a great teddy bears picnic yesterday, and Messy Church is almost always well attended with lots of families and younger children. The aim is to seek to grow and develop that message, to take on those people a little bit further in their faith and understanding of the Lord. Another of the headings, discipleship, leadership, and prayer development. There's the encouragement to grow leaders at all levels, aiming to result in a wide participation in a variety of different types of training and learning, both in existing home groups and through additional courses. My thinking at the moment is that in the autumn, in the weeks between home groups, we're going to run a course in the parish room on the methods you might use to understand the Bible better and get more out of it, both for our own spiritual growth and when there are opportunities to teach others of all ages. Another of the points on that heading, the promotion of volunteering needs and opportunities with our church family, inviting responses, giving a ready opportunity to present a variety of needs, from cutting the hedges to being a sides person to considering helping with young people's work, and making it easy for people to respond as well. Specific area of that we thought we'd focus on was inviting a diocesan lay development officer to speak to promote lay readership, and hence our guest speaker a couple of weeks ago. And continuing the promotion of the monthly prayer meeting, do come along, see what happens, and join us in prayer. It's a vital part of our church's life. And then the final point about our building committee, actually it's now building development committee, which is continuing to investigate the feasibility of the different options for what we do with our hall facilities, either carrying on with refurbishing our present hall or providing a different kind of space as an appropriate base for mission for this and future generations. And that committee is working, making progress on its thoughts and its evaluations, so that's good. A number of specific points highlighted in our mission action plan. Please do hold on to this. Maybe put it in your Bible or put it with your church prayer diary. And please do pray for these aims as well. That as we work them through, the love of Christ might be better known to more people in this area where we live. Amen.